Democrats, led by Governor Bob Ferguson, are attempting to use the cuts in the big, beautiful bill to try to justify really bad decisions that were made by the left in Washington, essentially trying to blame the Trump administration for problems that Democrats here caused. So let's tackle some of the nonsense. Senator John Braun, the Republican leader, joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It feels pretty transparent what Democrats are doing here, trying to essentially blame the Trump administration for issues that the Democrats are responsible for. So where do we even begin?
Yeah, it's hard to know where to begin. I mean, I think it's you're just using the items in the Big Beautiful Bill passed and signed last week to distract voters from things that they did just in the last session. $13 billion in new taxes, mostly aimed at working Washingtonians, is a big deal. I mean, and they include things like significant new taxes on hospitals, particularly rural hospitals, as well as policy things that are very damaging to hospitals. And instead of owning the damage and, you know, and trying to address the damage they did to the hospital system in our state, they're claiming things that I think are patently untrue about the legislation at the federal level.
Yeah, I mean, let's dive into that a little bit more, because under the bill, there's a $50 billion fund specifically for rural hospitals to utilize to make up for a potential. And we don't know what the number is going to be, but we assume there's going to be obviously some people who aren't covered under Medicaid anymore. But the idea is, of course, that 17 million people, and I think in Washington it's 300 and something thousand who are eligible for Medicaid, that all 300,000 of them are no longer going to get Medicaid coverage. They all happen to go to rural hospitals. They don't go anywhere else. And it's just going to cripple our hospital system. We have $50 billion to cover that. And the reality is the numbers aren't on their side. And to your point, Democrats made some significant moves here in Washington that harms hospitals.
Yeah, all that's correct. I mean, there were accountability measures included in the federal legislation. It's very, when you actually get rid of the fear mongering and just look at the facts, it's very reasonable stuff. It's stuff like work requirements and on specifically on able-bodied folks, no dependents, no disabilities. And the requirement is only 20 hours per week. And it could be work, it could be education, it could be volunteering. So it's not a high bar and broadly supported across partisan lines. That's what they're, you know, they're not going into the details. They're just, you know, waving their hands and saying this terrible stuff. It's simple accountability measures, making sure folks who are on Medicaid are truly eligible. And if you want to preserve the program, you want to preserve it for the folks who really need it, disabled, deep poverty, children. We have to be wise about how we spend our money. And that's all this is doing. And instead of understanding that, and it is true, I can't imagine of those you mentioned, it's over $300,000. Some of them will come off Medicaid over time. Understand it will be over a period of time. And also, with a work requirement, there's every chance that if they come off Medicaid, it's because they acquired private insurance.
Exactly.
And are covered a different way. So they are exaggerating their concerns. And I think it is fair. And I think that at the federal level, they were smart to recognize there may be some concerns long term with especially rural health care. That's why they put a fund in $50 billion over the next 5 years to help backstop specific challenges for rural hospitals. So this was very thoughtful legislation. And instead of dealing with the issues here in Washington, they're fear mongering and trying to create panic to distract folks from things they did in our very own state.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, they're acting in bad faith. And when you act in bad faith, you have a tendency to lie, and that's exactly what we're seeing. They're just flatly lying.
Yeah, there's absolute untruths about what this thing will do. I mean, it's not, you know, in simple terms, the folks don't lose Medicaid coverage if they simply meet the work requirement. And as I said earlier, it's a relatively low bar, 20 hours a week, they would maintain Medicaid.
Well, and by the way, hold on.
Nobody will do that.
Yeah, and this part is important too, because it's not only so much that they have to work 20 hours a week. They could still be qualified and not work at all. I mean, they still have to show that they were either trying to find work, they can be volunteering, they can be going through job training. It is an incredibly low bar to stay on Medicaid. So again, they're just lying about the impacts. And it's not just around Medicaid, but it's also about SNAP. We're not booting people off of SNAP who are vulnerable. Again, they are just making that up.
Yeah. And you go to SNAP, which is, you know, it's a supplemental nutrition assistance program known as, you know, food stamps. You know, think about when we did work requirements back in the 90s with President Clinton and Newt Gingrich as a speaker. Those were enormously successful in helping people earn their, you know, work their way out of poverty. The numbers are very clear. That was a successful program. And over the last couple decades, you know, that those are work requirements have atrophied and states have been given some waivers and they've eliminated them. This just puts them back in place. And the expectation based on what we saw before in the same circumstances is this will be good long term for people to help, you know, work their way out of poverty and dependence on the federal government.
Talking with the Senate Republican leader, John Braun, about Democrats essentially trying to pass the blame onto Donald Trump. And I mean, strategically, Senator, it is a wise move, is it not? They know that their claims are going to be amplified by left-wing media and, you know, in a largely unapologetically blue state, people are just going to believe it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they are 100% playing politics. That doesn't mean it's bad politics. What we have to do as Republicans is get out and talk about the actual details and explain to people, you know, and most of the coverage has been about Medicaid. It's a big bill, right? Hence the name. And it has a wide range of issues. Energy brings down the cost of energy in our state and across the country. It's a huge, important bill for agriculture, a very important economic sector in our state. There's just a ton of things. You know, there's money for immigration. There's money for defense. There's a lot of stuff in the bill. And they just want to hone in on the things that they can spin in a way that hurts Republicans. We got to get out and talk about it and explain to the people in our state what this is going to do for our state and our country long term. And I think it's good. And if we make the case, people will understand that.
How easy is it to make the case when you're in the minority and media generally doesn't give you fair or equal treatment?
Well, yeah, that's a perennial challenge in Washington, and we've just learned to deal with it. And you have to recognize in today's media market, it's not like the traditional media is getting everybody's attention. People get their news from many sources, including the work you do and others like you. And why we're out talking to folks and explaining, look, these are straightforward accountability measures for Inikin. It's work requirements. It's eligibility verification. It's making sure, and this is a simple one I didn't mention before, making sure folks aren't enrolled in multiple states. In Washington state, in 1 year, we're spending an extra $150 million because folks are enrolled in Washington state and in another state in the country. Any common sense person would say that's not right. That's just pure wasteful. The Democratic majority refused to do anything about it. This actually does something about it in our state and around the country. Saves that money to be used for the vulnerable folks who truly need it. That's what we need to do, is show how we're going to take the program from the federal government, implement it in Washington state in a way that makes people's lives better here in Washington.
Did Bob Ferguson become a more significant disappointment for Republicans than we initially thought? He was obviously, during the legislative session, he was talking about being more moderate. He was pushing back against tax increases, only to then completely turn on everything he said.
Yeah, it was. I got to be candid. It was disappointing. I mean, his statements at the beginning of session and frankly through session, saying pushing back on the fiscal irresponsibility that they've demonstrated, the Democratic majority has demonstrated over the last several years, seemed promising. In the end, though, you know, whether they boxed him in, he felt like he couldn't do anything else, or he was always going to sign all that stuff. I don't know. I can't tell. But the end is he signed it all. The people of the state of Washington ended up with a poor budget that continues the overspending based on $13 billion, you know, $9.5 billion in state taxes, another roughly 3 in local taxes and continues the spending problem. And here's the thing I say over and over. At the beginning of the session, Governor Ferguson said, yeah, I don't want to be in the situation in the future. If he meant that, if he didn't want to be in the situation in the future, he had to take a hard line. He had to say, we have to stop the wasteful spending. We have to stop overspending if we're not going to have this continue and continue. You can't just raise taxes and spend more mm-hmm. and expect somehow your spending problem is going to go away.
So what do you think is going to happen? I know we've got quite a bit of time before the next legislative session, but what is the strategy to not allow what happened this past session happen again?
Well, I mean, here's the beauty of our state and our country is that when the elected folks do the wrong thing for individuals, you have a chance to change that. And I think that hopefully, you know, we're out there making the case, and hopefully the people of the state of Washington will say we've had enough, that we want thoughtful, effective, efficient government, and we don't want any more overspending. It's costing too much. I mean, Washington is now, I think, the fourth most expensive state in the country to live in. We weren't like that, you know, even 5 years ago, certainly not 10 years ago. This is the result of bad policies implemented by the Democratic majority over the last 8 years. And the people of the state of Washington have a chance to change that.
Well, we all have a lot of work cut out for us, and hopefully people are up for the challenge. Again, we've been talking with the Senate Republican leader, John Braun. Senator, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day. Bye.
You as well.